for you to ask questions as well. So in the meantime, if you have an urgent question, please ask them. And so for that Q&A session, it's also listed on item number 3 in the bulletin. So Pastor Tran, please come to bring God's word to us.
Thank you so much. Every time I go to an English congregation or church to preach, I always get so nervous. And I still remember one year in my own former church, I was on my way to an English congregation to preach, and then I was so nervous. I was walking in the church hallway, and there was a young man just like your age, 15, 16, and he looked at me and said, "Pastor Tran, why are you so nervous?" I said, "Because I'm going to use a language that I'm not too really good on." So the young man said, "Pastor, when you get nervous, look at me. I will smile for you." And then the whole time I preach a whole sermon, I look at the person. And the boy keep on smiling. So can I count on you? before I came over here, I was teaching a Sunday school class, the Cantonese one. And they had a prayer meeting for me, knowing that I'm going to speak use English. They say, "Oh, Pastor, don't worry. When you get scared, think of us. We are praying for you right now." So it's a privilege to share the God's word with you. And I really have burden. I want to share with you the message from Exodus chapter 3. If a person who reached the age of 80 and someone comes to him saying that, "Tell you what, you are going to have the biggest you can development in your life, something you never imagined before, so great, so big," what will you say the person can respond? 80 years old. Normally, 80 is almost settled down, right? What else can we talk about? But a vision, an encounter that Moses had in that mountain, not only changed his own life, but changed the history of Israel. And through hundreds of thousands of years, this scripture has spoken to many hearts and lives, and God used it to change many people. So my burden is, we pray that God will speak to you as well as he will speak to me. When we read his words, may his words, his message come to touch our lives. Can we also have a short prayer and then we commit this time into God's hand? Father God, we thank you for being able to worship you together. May your work become the light of the path of our life. Change our hearts, change the way we look at ourselves, change our focus of our lives, so that may your will be done through us, through this church that you set up here. We commit this time in your hand. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Chapter 3 is a very special chapter. Actually, the story we read this morning represent a turning point in Moses' own life. It was a regular boring day for Moses. What did he do at that time? He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And that was a boring job. Everybody tried to get out of it. It was so boring. Now he took care of the sheep and he went to a place. In verse 1, it says that he took care of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, Horeb was the name of the mountain. And Moses, when he recorded this, he at once said, that was the mountain of God. Why? Because on that mountain, Moses encountered God. What did he see first? He saw a burning bush. The Bible says there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, it was not anything unusual to see the sight of a burning bush in the Middle East. If you've ever been there, I hope you someday you travel. I spent five weeks in the Middle East, and many times I went to the wilderness. The temperature at night, it was cold. But in the daytime, sometimes it was so hot, unbearable. 120, 130 degrees. And then when you drive along the wilderness road, sometimes you saw a bush, pum, it was on fire. It was nothing unusual. It was common sight. Here we have a common sight too. Every spring, I saw those plants, the whole green cloud fall over in front of a car. It makes the car so dirty, right? And tell me what it is. I thought I came from Garden State, New Jersey, but here is the Garden State here. You have so many plants. In the wilderness, it was so hot. And then he saw burning bushes. Bush was on fire, nothing special. But it was the fact that the bush was not burned out. It was strange. And though Moses came close and let me check it out, what it was. And God said, Moses, here I am. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is a holy ground. At first, Moses came to look at the bush because the bush was on fire. But when later, if you read the whole scripture, God started mentioning, he saw the suffering. He saw that his people was in trouble. They have been suffering for a long time. From the beginning, God let Moses know, I know it. I see it. I saw it, and I'm seeing it. I'm going to do something. God was letting Moses know that his people was suffering. But just like bush in fire, why it was not burned out? Because God was there. If I were Moses, I would definitely, the more I listen to what God said, understand, yes, there's something. Represent the condition the Israelites went through. Actually, it was the same thing like Moses. Do you all remember at the time in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, Moses was his age, 80 years old. Was he old enough? Was he old, 80 years old? When I was young, I thought people reach 50. Oh, so old. When I got to 50, I say, maybe 70 is old. And then when I get closer and closer, I think that, no, we are still young. Yeah, seriously, 2 years ago, I still played basketball, 2 hours with a young team. I'm still young. But Moses, his life was not an easy one. The first 40 years, he was what? The adoption of the princes of Egypt, right? He thought he had everything. He could do anything. Next 40 years, he was a shepherd. How you call him? Fugitive, right? Am I using the correct word? Fugitive, why? He killed a person, and the king, the Pharaoh, issued a death penalty to him, kill him. So he had to run away to wilderness. The 40 years, Moses, and now the 40 years he spent in the wilderness, Midian wilderness, he was tending God's flock the sheep. It was a job nobody wanted to do it. I don't know how can I find some job today similar to that. I don't know. But anyway, at that time, it was those people who actually couldn't have any special skill or anything he could find anything else except that was the lowest job that in people's mind. He spent 40 years doing that thing. Now, do you think he can have any hope? When he saw the bushes in fire, he thought of Israel. But if I were him, I would think of myself. I spent 40 years in wilderness. 80 years old, what else I could expect? The past few years, every time I talk with my daughter, I like to tell her something was in the past, history, how we grew up, what we went through. And one day, my daughter said, "Dad, you're getting old." I said, "Why?" "You're only talking in the past. And you're talking about history. It was past. Tell me something new." I said, "Up to my age, you think anything can be new?" When looking forward, what else can I expect? Now, Moses was in that situation, but when he looked back, when I look back, I can see, yes, we may go through a lot compared with the young people today, but God was there. That's why my bush was protected and sustained. It's still there. God was working in our lives. Moses himself, you know, his name means what? The one being drawn from the water, our water, right? So I could imagine when people in Egypt calling him, "Moses, Moses," also reminded him, "You are not one of us. You are not one of us. You are being drawn, taken out from the water." But when he, in the wilderness, he got married and he had a son, do you still remember how they named him? We read it, right? He named him what? Gershom. Gershom. Gershom means what? I am an alien in a foreign land. Every day when he came, "Gershom, Gershom," means that I am in a foreign land. I am an alien in a foreign land. Remember Moses, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 90. What did he say? He said, our life is just like what? Maybe 70. If we were strong, we can get to 80. When you sum up everything together, it's a moan, it's a sign. I preached the same message. You know what I asked them to do? I say, 1, 2, 3, give a sign. I say, too short, do it a long one. Take a deep breath. 1, 2, 3, say, I say, that's life. Our life is just like that. But for those who belong to God, when Moses looked back, just like a bush, God was always there. God made everything work together. Do you know Romans chapter 8, verse 28? God made everything work together for the benefit for those who love him. God suddenly realized the piece of land, you know, that mountain, 40 years, he must went through it many times. But on that morning, he had to take his sandals off. Why? Because the place he was, that piece of land, the regular piece of land, Moses was standing that morning, it was holy. Why? Because God was there. Once I preached the same sermon in my English congregation. Okay, the content is different, but I used the same scripture. My English worship service, the young people said, "Pastor Strand, why don't you come over to preach a sermon?" I said, "Okay." I always love Exodus chapter 3. So I went there and asked the English pastor, I asked the worship coordinator, "How much time do I have?" The person said, "Oh, you preach 35 minutes. Are you sure English worship service also preaching shorter?" I said, "Yeah, 35 minutes. You know, I prepare, if you give me 35 minutes, I always prepare longer than that in case, you know, suddenly something happens shorter, I prepare 40 minutes of sermon." You know, that morning, it was very special. The team leading inspiration worships, they are so into it, they forgot the time. They keep on singing. You know, for Chinese, we seldom sing more than 15 minutes. But it's the norm. I don't know how long, it's my first time here. If you have 15, 20 minutes singing, you are very special. And you are very special, give me 30 minutes. That morning, they were so into singing, they forgot about the time. I was always nervous. I always had my watch holding hand. I'm losing five more minutes. You know, when they stopped, when I went up the pulpit, I had only 7 minutes left. I forget about the sermon I wrote. I just tell the story and tell them that, do you know, just like a piece of land, God was there, it became a holy land. Your life and mine. Yes, our life is just like everybody else, but something is different. If God is in it, we have to respect our life because your life belongs to God. Take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy ground. It's important. I tell the young man. Actually, I went to visit a church leader. You know, Chinese, every time we get together, we eat, right? So we ate. And they treat me with a very good meal. You know, Chinese dinner is different. Especially when they have guests, they have tons of food. You know, Caucasian in Western, usually one or two main dishes, right? But Chinese have so many. I couldn't eat that much. So I keep eating. And then his son walked in. A young man, about 20-some years old, he walked in. And he looked at the parents and said, Dad, Mom, I'm going to join the army. And the mom, I saw their face. What? You are planning, right? No, I register. What? You did it? Yes. Next 2 weeks, I'm leaving to the boot camp. You didn't even finish your college. But you know what the young man said? I couldn't forget. I saw the parents, the life was so frustrating. Almost destroyed the parents. The young man said, Dad, Mom, thank you for giving me the life, but it's mine now. I'm going to do whatever I think I want to do. So that morning, I tell the story to my congregation, young people, say, listen, if you are the one belong to God, your life, respect your life. It's a life that owned by God. You are not going to do anything you want to do because God has a plan for you. And after that, I closed my Bible. It was 7 minutes. And you know what? That night, their coordinator called me. They said, Pastor Trent, can you come over every week? I said, why? Because your sermon is so short. They love it. I hope it's not because of my sermon was only 7 minutes. I hope it's the message is so important. Moses, the first thing he learned, and then he learned, you know, God told him, verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of the people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and special land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the names of the local people. God not only helped Moses saw the value of his own life and the situation, he showed Moses what God wants to do. God told him that, I have heard, I have seen. Actually, God told Moses, if in Hebrew, he says that from beginning, I have seen from the starting of everything. I was there. You know, one of the passages I most really I have a very deep impression surprised me so much is in Exodus chapter 12 when the night when Israelites left Egypt, it was recorded. It was 430 years that night. God's army in NIV says God's divisions came out of Egypt. You know what I saw? So every single day, the 430 years, the Israelites thought God forgot them. God did not. God count every single day. In God's timing, 430 years, no, not a day more, not a day less, God took his people out of Egypt. God's plan was going on. Sometimes we focus so much on the small pictures. Our lives, my study, when you go bigger, maybe the right time, say, oh, I want a girlfriend, or I want a boyfriend, I'm getting married, I'm going to have a baby, and blah, 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 blah. These things are important. But young people, be careful. That's very important. Don't just get into something that pray a lot. May God lead you, because it affect your whole life. But besides, something really important is we see God, what God is has been doing among us in every place else. I served God in Hawaii before. I was a pastor in Hawaii for a few years. You know what I saw? At that time, there was a lot of immigrants from Japan, from Southeast Asia in Hawaii. Now, after that, I served in New York City. New York City, you know what I saw? I saw the Chinatown, New York. Anybody, did you ever go to Chinatown, New York? No? Yes? You love that place? No, but you love the food, right? You know, if you, that's a place in Chinatown, has a history of Chinatown. If you walk inside, you see that in the past 50 years, every certain number, 10 or 20 years, God brought a group of people into Chinatown. At first, it's Hoi San. Our elder Don was Hoi San. Hoi San. At that time, those 10 years or 15 years, if you did not speak Hoi Sanese, you are not speaking Chinese. And after that, and then it comes a Cantonese. And you know, recently, the past 10 years, Fukinese. I was invited to preach at a Fukinese church in Flushing. After preaching, the church was packed. I went to visit their Sunday school class. A class had 100, more than 100 people. You know what class was that? I asked the pastor. You know what he said? He said, that's baptismal class. Every year, they have four times of baptism. Every time, has 100 to 150 people being baptized. After that, after preaching, they line up outside, single line, to want to take a picture with me. I thought, you know. Later, I realized that their lawyers asked them to take a picture with me. You know what it is, right? They want to have proof they are going to a church, they can apply for immigration status. So that's why they are not taking pictures of the whole family, one person at a time. So I saw this group of people. I went outside. During two services, I had 40 minutes break. I went outside to see the market. Back with Chinese, they are all almost 100% Fukinese. And I went back to New York City. I told my church that, listen, now in this time, God has brought a group, hundreds, thousands of these people here. Time passed and the door will be closed. Take this opportunity. Have we seen the plan of God, what God has been doing among us? I am from Vietnam. When I came to this country 36 years ago, but between 1975 and 79, almost 500,000 ethnic Chinese from Vietnam were taken to took refuge in this country. We were pushed out of the country. Actually, Vietnam and China was at war, and they against the Chinese, pushed 1 million Chinese to the ocean, and half of them drowned. This half a million of new immigrants coming to this country, and Chinese church at that time did not recognize the opportunity. They ignored them. And up to today, they are still lost people. Do you know God has been doing things among ourselves? God help Moses to see God is what going to do. I love a story I thought I'd share with you, but allow me if I did, but this message always speaks to my heart. Is there's an egg of the eagle somehow was placed among a group of many eggs of the chickens. So chicken egg and eagle egg, one eagle egg together. So the mama chicken thought everybody's there, her kids, so that she sat on them and hatched them. And of course, the eagle egg came out the latest. When the eagle baby came out, he looked at himself a little different, but he didn't see a lot of difference, so he just followed his brother and sisters, even picking up grounds and worms and eating around. When they grew bigger and bigger, this, at least he thought it was chicken, he started looking up. He liked to look up. One day he saw something awful. A big bird was flying, hovering there. He asked other chickens, "Watch this, watch this." Say, "Guys, look down, don't look at it. It's something who will eat us." So he was picking. But slowly, he couldn't stop himself by looking up, and then his wings started moving, and then he was taking off. It was before very short period of time, he was howling on the sky, flying over, just like he was an eagle. You know, when I heard this story a while ago, I always thought of ourselves. There are so many in this country attracting our attention. Sometimes we thought we want this, we want that. I'm always behind person. Last week, I brought my laptop to Pastor Lin. He was expert in fixing computers. I said, "Pastor Lin, can you make my computer run faster? Can you upgrade?" He said, "How old is your computer?" I said, "Only 12 years old." He said, "What? You want to upgrade a 12 years old laptop?" I said, "Well, it's working." He said, "Pastor Lin, I know you're behind. I never imagined you're so behind. Every 3-4 years is our day. I mean, get a new one, it's so cheap." But I said, "Mine is still working." You know, that's why somebody said, "Pastor Trent, if this country more people like you, the economy will go down." You're not spending money. I mean, what are you doing? Holding on to a dinosaur. I'm still having it. I'm still using it this morning in my Sunday school class. Yes, it was slow. But you know what? So many things are competing our attention. The past 4 years, I spoke many times in a retreat, the student fellowship in this church. Those people just like you, so young. I said, "Did you graduate from high school yet?" You know what they told me? "Hey, Pastor Trent, we are all PhDs and postdoc studies." "No, it can't be." "Yes, Pastor Trent, we are not young." But in my eyes, they're still kids. And I asked them, "Now, you left your country, you are studying PhD, doing research in your work. What is your concern? What occupies your heart?" He said, "You know what, Pastor Strand, lately, it was a cell phone. iPhone 5, iPhone 6, I don't know how many. iPhone what, I don't even know. Last year was still that thing." For me, cell phone is a cell phone, but you know, they said, "Pastor Strand, your cell phone is old." Say, "What? It served the purpose." But no, the new cell phone can do a lot of things. If you live in this world, how come you're so behind? So, I want to buy a new cell phone right now. I want to buy new things. So many things competing our attention. You know, for young people, America is the best place for you to get education. You know, I went for my PhD when I was 50. I came to this country, I spent 4 years in college and then spent years in my master's degree. You can learn a lot. I'm wanting to get another study degree in history. So you can go as high as you want, but something really important for us, don't let this distract the picture. Ask yourself, what God wants from our lives? Did we see what God has been doing? It's important because God has been doing things around us in this whole world. God is going to use all this to show us his plan if we have time and room for him. The fact is, sometimes we are so occupied. We are just looking at, this is what I want in the next year. After I get this degree, I'm going to do this. Or I start a business, this is what I'm going to do. We should stop. Look at our lives. The place you're standing is a holy ground. And God shows Moses the whole picture, what he has been doing and what he is going to do. Important. Do we see God has been doing and what God is going to do? The more important thing is not just that, but in verse 10, the verse 8, 7, 8, 9 is God show Moses that he was care about what the people are suffering, his people. Verse 10. God showed something really sharp, Moses. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I read it again. So now, go. I am sending you, sending who? Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. As we said, do you agree that Moses was the last person God ever can send to Egypt? Why? Why God send Moses? Do you know? God should know that he was a fugitive, right? Any place on earth, the last place he wanted to go is to go back to Egypt. Now, of course, the Pharaoh who sentenced him to death was no longer there, but who knows? I left Vietnam 36 years ago and never went back once. And people said, Pastor Trent, why don't you go back? Vietnam is different today. It's so prosperous. Everybody talking about money. I say, I do not want to go back. If for ministry, I will go back. But for my own pleasure, I will not. Why? Because I went through a lot, a nightmare there, 4 years. I do not want to go back. If I go back, some nightmare will come up. I'm afraid. Now, it may not be true, but there's something even worse for Moses. He did not want to go back to Egypt because he was on the list of being wanted. Wanted for killing an Egyptian. Now, the last thing he wants to see is Pharaoh. Who am I? Who am I? You sent me to Pharaoh. And like I said, that's a mission impossible. No way Egypt, the strongest nation, one of the strongest nations at that time, will ever allow Israelite people live. In this country, a lot of talk has been about the illegal alien immigrants, right? Alien. Now, if you go to Texas, I saw a group of people every morning around the corner waiting for a job. If you check their immigration status, most likely they have the wanted list. And you know, in Chinatown, I'm sorry to see that I know a lot of those came to this country not through the regular procedure. They do not have documents. But you know, if this country is going to arrest all or send back all the illegal aliens, you go to a Chinatown restaurant, there'll be no waiter. If you go to Texas, those construction sites, those people building, those people harvesting, farmers in the fields, we need some kind of basic labor because we are getting to a state that we are the pay is too low, we don't want to get those jobs. And it was worse during that time when Moses was serving there. God want Moses to take away this from Egypt? No way. No reason whatsoever. No nation, no single person, no one impossible to this accomplish. But God let Moses know, I want to send you there. God not only helped Moses look beyond his own past or present, God wants to make him excited about the vision and the fact that God has included him in the plan. Remember what God, when Moses hesitated, God said to Moses, okay, verse 10, go, so I sent you to Pharaoh to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, who am I? And then verse 12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. What sign? What evidence? Listen, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, in Hebrew, there's something there. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, it's not Moses' people, God's people, you will worship God on this mountain. Have you noticed? The evidence, the sign is something happening in the future. It's not there. If someone tells me, Pastor Trent, I'm going to take you out for dinner. The sign is, you have a good dinner. Say, what? God was using something that has not happened to Moses. Do it. This is the evidence I'm going to give it to you. You know what was God telling Moses? By faith, only by faith, you can go to see Pharaoh. Only by faith, you can return to Egypt. Only by faith, you are going to accomplish something unimagined. Nobody can ever imagine. One person, take the 1 million people, more than 1 million people, out of the strongest nation at that time. And by national interest, Egypt was not go, no way to let these people go. God said, it will happen. I tell you what, one day you and my people will be worshiping me on this mountain. I have seen how God worked in this country. Every period of time, God took a group of immigrants over here. 75, 79, half a million Vietnamese. And when I came to this country, I was attending a Chinese church in New Jersey. At that time, Chinese churches, almost every single one of them are from Taiwan, from Campus Crusade, the Taiwanese group. You know, the past 20 years, I have seen God has brought thousands and thousands and thousands men and Chinese people to this country, and they are now here. I told a group of PhDs and postdoc study young kids. I said, listen, you are here today. It's not by accident. Thousands of thousands Chinese, overseas Christian Chinese have been praying for God to open the gospel door of China so the gospel can come in. I have seen God answers prayer. 10 years, every week, 100,000 of Chinese Christians were crying, God, save our people. God answered prayer, not letting us come in, but God took them out, put among us. I came to RCCC last August. I couldn't believe my eyes, especially after I became a part-time pastor serving the Cantonese population. I have seen Research Triangle Park. It's a concentration of the top cream of Chinese society, scholars, future scholars, researchers, scientists. You know, personally, it's my personal opinion. I believe in the coming 20, 25 years, Chinese is going to play a more and more important role in the whole world stage. Why? Too many of Chinese. Every four people, there's one Chinese. And you know, Chinese have a concept. Everything is not as important as study. So we Chinese, we want straight A, right? Is that the same like your parents? Yeah. We won't take B plus. A minus. I asked my daughter, why A minus? Why not A? They receive the best education, and they're going to have a bigger and bigger influence in the world stage. You know why? God has brought those people and top of those people among us here, right here. And I came to this church. I saw so many scholars and professors and highly educated engineers, all these professionals. They can reach out to this population and right here. And I heard the church is going to build a bigger church building. You know what's going to happen? God will bring more of them into this church. Now the question is, what are we going to do? I was in Parsippany, 1984. My church was 174. After we built a church smaller than this one, built a church for 300 people, right? In 8 years, God brought in 850 people. Up to a point that the township mayor called me and said, Pastor Tran, you have to do something. Every Sunday, your people flood the streets, took away all the parking spaces. If you don't do, do you know what? The fire department is just next door. I'm going to give a call for them to inspect your church building. I got scared. So we had to plan our church and plug them down. Now we can accommodate that people. After we build a church building, we are going to have hundreds of new people coming in. Are we ready? Do we see the whole picture of what God has been doing? I'm looking at not just how the RCC will be developed. I'm looking at how can RCC become a base for world mission. If people coming to us, we bring them into the church, share the gospel, assimilate them in the body of Christ, and developing them. I'm looking at 4 years, every 4 years. Why 4 years? I serve in Hawaii. Hawaii was a land nobody will stay. Only tourists will come. So that was a college ministry there. Every year we brought about 50 to 80 college students into the kingdom of God. They accept Christ, they're baptized. We have 4 years to prepare them. 4 years later, they will leave. There was no job in Hawaii. So every year we baptize 50 to 80 people. Every year we send 50, 80 people here. Now, a lot of places I travel in Seattle, in San Francisco, in East Coast, New York, and other places, Boston, I met those people. Those are the fruits will continue being multiplied. You know what? If we are doing our job, what God entrusts to us, the opportunity, God has included you and me in this plan. I do not believe today you are sitting here and I'm here is by accident. No accident. I love this cartoon movie called The Princess of Egypt. Prince of Egypt, right? Not princess. Prince of Egypt, right? Moses, right? There was a hymn, there's a song. They were out of Egypt and they are singing a song. When you believe, there will be miracle when you believe. There will be miracle when you believe. Our life is just normal life. But young, Middle Asia, even old people, God can use a life become blessing to many people. It's a privilege to be included in God's plan. You are staying here in this church in North Carolina. It's not by accident. God has a plan and he has a plan for you. How you look at your life, how you're going to respond for this opportunity. This is a holy land. God is here. So may God speak to you and to me myself. I don't know how long I'll be here. Actually, nobody knows how long you'll be here either. But we all know when God's time's up, we better be able to answer to God that, yes, whatever you entrust to me, I have done it. And that's what it counts. So may God be with you. I hope RCC will wake up and see this vision, opportunity. If we are not responding, the torch will pass to other people. And one day we have to respond to God, that God, sorry I missed it. I hope that is not our case. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we can look at the vision you have shown to Moses. We just pray that you open our eyes to see things beyond ourselves, beyond our church, to see your great plan. Yes, we went through a lot, but you were always there, and you are here, and you'll be there for us. Father, help us to respect our lives, because a life with you inside is a life should deserve to be respected. It belongs to you. Father, also open eyes, let us to see the great picture, what you have been doing. You have brought so many, many Chinese into this area. They were well-trained, educated, and what they know is around what they are studying, the secular knowledge of this world. Help us to share the gospel with them. Help us to help equip them. Help us to be able to send them away, so that they will become the witnesses for you and for the gospel. Before we can do that, Father, may our hearts be turned to you. Help us to respond to you. Help us to be equipped ourselves so that we can ready to accept the harvest you're going to send into this church. May your name be glorified among us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let's rise as we respond.